I'd like to come back to Psalm 1. We talked about the blessed man, or the blessed woman, or the blessed person. Blessed incorporates a lot of words that describe blessed, happy, prosperous, much to be envied, favored. That's you in the Lord. Verse 3. We talked about the blessed man's delight was in the word of God. That's where he found. We can read a lot of things. We can read a lot of wonderful books by great authors. And those are helpful in our spiritual growth and development. But the one that will do the job is the Word of God. That one is fail-proof over the generations. And then in verse 3, as a result of not walking in the counsel of the ungodly, as a result of not coming in agreement with the lost about any major decisions you may be faced in making, and don't sit with the scornful. Scornful ones are like the mockers, scoffers, like I used to be when some of my friends got saved. Oh, boy. I wanted nothing more to do with them. They were wonderful musicians and played all the notes right and played all the songs. But when they got saved and asked me if I'd play with them, it was like an instant separation happened. And I just... The scorn. Scorn, though, is like a bitterness that a lot of people that don't know the Lord are in that place right now. Some of them know us, but they're reluctant to say bad things about us. But scorn, it means almost like a detestable displeasure for the choice that you made to follow Christ. So it doesn't do a lot of good to hang out with them too long in a day. If your objective is to win them to Christ, you've got to understand where the heart is at. And that's important, because otherwise it doesn't do a whole lot of good to tell unsaved people that you speak in tongues, because you're not going to get too far with that. But the anointing is on the gospel itself. And so sometimes it does require us to draw back. But the common goal is, of course, to be around unsaved people enough that they see enough of the Lord in us to desire and to want what we have, rather than to have a scornful standoff attitude towards us. I still have that in a couple family members, but they're not going to win out in that deal. I'm in it. I'm in it to win it. And then verse 3. Excuse me. And he, the blessed one from verse 1, will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. I remember one Sunday, maybe a year ago, I had taken a picture of this huge cedar tree in our backyard, and I focused on the root mass down near the ground. And under that tree, there are roots that just go out all over the back corner of our yard. I have to keep the lawnmower raised up so that it doesn't whack into those roots. And I walk barefoot out there because I know where all the roots are. Excuse me. Gotta have some water. Hint, hint. Let's see. But like that tree, we desire the sincere milk of the Word. We're washed with the water of the Word. It has a cleansing power to our thought life. Did you ever notice that? When you maybe not feeling too spiritual, but you get out a devotional or you get out a portion of scripture and you start reading it, and it isn't very long, and an amazing attitude adjustment takes place. And it kind of cleanses those thoughts out of us and brings us back to our right place. It's a never-ending source of spiritual water for us, for our new man in Christ, and it helps us to grow from God's perspective. It's important to begin to see ourselves and agree with God as to what He says about us. Because when you get in agreement with God, good things happen. But if you get into doubt and unbelief, and you don't believe that you're righteous, you don't believe that all things have become new the day you got saved, like that banner, 2 Corinthians 5:17, you don't believe that you're holy, well, you're just going to have to get over that, because there's greater things to go on to. And you know, it's not by what we did, but because of what He did. And it's God Himself who has declared us to be those things. But if we don't partake of the water of the Word, it's almost like being stillborn in the kingdom. We just flounder around and we say we're saved, but we don't have any joy, don't have any peace. We're conflicted, we waver. But the more we get rooted and grounded in the Word, the more we are changed and transformed into what the Word says that we are and who the Word says we are. Because it's a wonderful source of life and water. And it brings forth fruit in its season. Each person in this room, each believer, is in a season of their faith walk. People grow at different rates. People grow differently. I've seen some brand new believers that were really fire in, suddenly knowledgeable about some things that older people in the Lord hadn't grasped yet, but they were quick to understand and receive it, because nobody ever said those kind of good things about them before. And so they were quick to embrace those things that God says about us. I like the fact that He calls us His beloved. I mean, I don't know how many of you had a family that ever called you beloved daughter or beloved son. Maybe some of you did, but I would say probably not as many. But God does. And it helps us to appreciate each other more. Because it was the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit, that wooed somebody else to the Lord, as did you. And so there's a common attraction there between God and His beloveds. But if we don't know that, we don't grow as fast. And we can be wishy-washy sometimes. But the more settled and rooted we are in the Word, oh, that tree just keeps growing and maturing. I mean, I watched all winter those trees on that stone wall look so bleak and dead. But look at them now. Just look at what a few weeks did. I mean, look out there. They're just gorgeous. Now you think of yourself being like that tree in the watered garden. There are times in a person's life when you might make the assumption there's nothing happening in their life, I don't see any fruit. Well, we shouldn't be quick to assume that from anybody, because there are many different kinds of fruit. We've been studying the fruit of the Spirit downstairs for a month now, and we had an open table discussion among us. How has that benefited your walk, your ministry, the call of God on your life, to know that these things are part of the new you? How has that made the difference? That joy is now one of the fruit of the Spirit. That love is one of the fruit of the Spirit. All of these things are in you now. And how has that made a difference in your life? How has it been helpful to you? And it's been a wonderful conversation, because each one of us just took turns around the table and related in our lives how we lacked those things before salvation, but they came with salvation, and how did that make a difference? How does that affect your thinking? How does it make your attitude? How does it change you? How does it keep you? How does it remind you? It's being rooted in that water that causes these things to grow even more and manifest more often in our lives. Great advantages. And there's seasons for fruit bearing. We just got word yesterday that they're picking fresh strawberries in Maryland now. The Maryland strawberries are usually the ones that come from the local markets have them, but the Vermont and New Hampshire strawberries are coming next, and in the not too distant number of weeks ahead. But there's different seasons for growth. Different fruits grow in different seasons, and it's the same in the Lord. There's just different seasons in people's walk for they producing good fruit. And it says in his season. Don't try to hurry somebody up. Love them for where they're at. That's like pouring a nice warmth of love and affection on them and encouraging them to stay with it, keep with it. We all have to make some tough decisions at times. And the unsaved don't like to make decisions. They try to just put off making decisions. And then they don't have any peace. And their thoughts are very scattered. And they don't sleep well at night. And they worry a lot. They're afraid of a lot of things. But when you know these good things are on the inside of you, they produce such a stabilizing effect in our lives. It's like we don't have to freak out about everything. We all know there's a lot of stuff going on that we don't approve of. But when we learn to do the right thing, make sure that you have the peace. There might not be any in Missouri today, but you can have peace right here today, this very moment, about a lot of things. That's also one of the fruit. And it says, his leaf also shall not wither. I think of, this is just an observation, just observing during the number of years that we've been saved, that people tend to wither rather than continue to prosper if they don't keep a steady diet of the Word. That will take us. And what if all you can remember? What if you come to the point in your life where the only thing you can remember, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. What if that's the only thing that you can still remember? That'll take you the rest of the way. Withering comes from a lack of water generally. The leaves on the trees, they begin to start drying out and they curl and they separate themselves from the branches and they fall on the ground. Well, spiritually, it's possible to wither. You know, Jesus talked a lot about fruit in John's Gospel. Chapter 15 of the vine and the branches. If we want to continue to be fruitful, if we want to continue to grow, if we want to continue to not wither, it's to not separate ourselves from the very source of life that's surging through each one of us spiritually. We don't want to wither. Where you might get caught off your mark sometime. Somebody might ask you a question and right out of nowhere, you're stumped for an answer. The word tells us to have an answer for those who ask of the hope that's within us. Do you have an answer for their question? What do you tell them? And they say, you always seem to be so hopeful. Where do you get that hope from? But if you're withered and you're caught off guard and unprepared, you might stammer a little bit trying to find words to tell them why you have hope. So just do like this blessed man in Psalm 1, verse 1. Follow that person. I think I read in one of the Gospels, Jesus told his disciples to follow the man bearing the pitcher of water. Did he not say that? Do you think there was more to it than just a pitcher of water? He was carrying living water. Follow that one, because he'll pour you out a drink when you're thirsty, and you won't wither, because even if you don't water your plants at home, they wither before they die. So don't let them get that far. Don't let you get that far that you wither. You have a great source of water all the time, and it's this word. And then it says that whatsoever you do will fail. Oh, I brought the wrong Bible. It's on the board. Ha ha, he shall prosper. He'll have good success. You don't have to even think about failing, flunking, all washed up. The word works, and it works every time. So the psalm, as short as it is, it's a wonderful reminder of the value of what we have in our hands, and it needs to get in our hearts. Amen?